Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Thank you, Kelly. Hebrews chapter 3. We began a message 2 weeks ago, and then we got about halfway through, and then we had a week off there. And so I want to walk through this a little bit, slight review. This is very important. I am dead serious. I know we say that, but this concept, if you have not yet got it squared away in your heart, you really need to do this. In fact, Jesus, in one passage we're going to look at today, Jesus says, if you don't have this down, then everything else I say is just going to go in one ear and out the other. There's this important concept we want to see here. The Hebrews, the Jews, went through the wilderness after they got out of Egypt, and they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, but they could have gone directly to the promised land. The reason they didn't was because God, though God would tell them some things and give them instructions what to do, it was like, well, yeah, that all sounds good, but I don't know if we can make this happen. And so they had the promises, but they never really profited from many of the promises. Now, God in his mercy kept them alive. God in his mercy provided for them, and that's all fine and dandy, but there were some victories that God wanted to give them that they did not get because they would not take it by faith. So there's some things I want you to see here. And so when we get to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, Hebrews 3, 7, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, what's he talking about? They were going through some hard times, and God wanted to do some things, but they hardened their hearts. They said, well, I don't think that's going to happen. God says, let's go in, take the promised land. No. 12 spies went over. 10 of them said, it's terrible. It's a wonderful place, but there's all these great big people there, and they'll kill us. We're like grasshoppers. And 2 said, no, let's go take it. God has given it to us. The fact is, God had given it to them. But the 10 of them outweighed the 2 that were willing to trust God. And it says that night the people of Israel just wept all night. Well, it's so terrible. God didn't do anything. Now, whose fault is that? It's not God's fault. He says, go and take it, and I'll give it to you. But they would not take the steps. What did they do? They hardened their hearts. He says, verse 7, today, if ye will hear. That word is there specifically. You exercise your will. See, sometimes, well, if God wants to do it, he's going to do it. So if it doesn't happen, it's his fault. If I'm a failure, it's his fault. If I don't get any blessing, it's his fault. No. God has given us great and precious promises that we can have, but we don't take them because we harden our heart. You understand what I'm saying here? So it says when he says, hear is my voice, harden not your hearts, as in the, just like they did in that day, they provoked God in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Now see, we see the temptation and the provocation in the wilderness thinking it was the Israelites being provoked. No, they were provoking God by not believing him. When your fathers tempted me, God's saying, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, that whole bunch of that at that time, and said they do always err, watch, in their, what's the word? Heart. There's the problem. That's where we go wrong. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So listen, that's where they get off track, in the heart. Instead of truly hearing, watch, and absorbing the word of God, some folks will let it bounce off their hard hearts for years. They're hard heads, but they got to get to the heart. He says, wherefore I was agreed with the generation and said, they do always err. They roam. They wander off. They get off track in their heart. And they have not known my ways. In other words, we don't know what God wants us to do because we're messing up at the heart level. We're not willing to take it. Verse 11. So I swear in my wrath. So in other words, God says, you can take my word on it. You can take it to the bank. I'm telling you exactly what's going to happen here. This isn't maybe, I don't know, it might, no. He says, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. In other words, you may think you can live this way with a hard heart against God's word and still finally end up with the promised rest, but you're fooling yourself. God is not going to let that happen. You may try to convince yourself that you have it all together, but when the real hard times come, you will find out that your feelings were just lying to you, and the depth of your faith that you really need in such a situation is not there. He says, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Evil means hurtful, damaging, not doing right by you. He says, your own heart will deceive you. Your own heart will put you down the wrong road. Your own heart will lie to you. He says, harden not your heart. Because it will lead you to unbelief, watch, in departing from the living God. Before long, we're standing off away from, we're keeping our distance from God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That word hardened there means rendered stubborn. He says, encourage one another so that you all keep your hearts soft and pliable, not stubborn. Through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, the delusion that our sin can give us, understanding as to what is right and what is wrong, what's good for us and what's not for us, it will lie to us. Our sin will lie to us, and then we'll stand up for our own thoughts and fight against God. Your heart is, he's basically saying, your heart is going to hurt you. Proverbs 28:26 tells us not to trust our heart. You're a fool. You trust your own heart. Jeremiah 17:5 talks about how our heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Where are we here? Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear, look at the word hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Let's jump down to verse 1. I'm sorry, let me keep on going, I'll be right. Verse 16, for some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why they have the unbelief? Because of the hardening of their hearts. Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. It says, here's something we need to be afraid of, lest they promise being left us of entering into the rest. In other words, we ought to fear because we're going to miss out on the rest and the peace that God wants to give us. Any of you that should seem to come short of, look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached. The good news was preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about having the right ears. Kind of part two to mixing the word with faith from last week. We're talking about having the right ears. You're going to understand where we are here in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for the truths in it. And Lord, this could be a life-changing message if people will take it. So they not harden their heart to the truth, but absorb it in right from the word and take it as it is, the word of God. So Lord, I pray that you use us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Last time we spoke on the necessity of mixing the word of God with faith. That's what we just read there in verse 2. If the word of God that comes at us, if you will, comes to us one way or another, is not mixed with faith, the truth that has been presented to us will do us no good. The just are to live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. You've got to have faith. Now, there's most likely people who go to church week after week, and yet not much ever happens or changes in their person, in that person's life. And we can read the Word of God daily and still not change in our lives. We can listen to TV and radio preachers all day, every day, and not have really any significant changes in our lives. We can read every Christian book that comes along and go to all the seminars and still have very little, if any, real change in the depth of who we are. We can even be baptized in every creek and stream and pond till every tadpole knows your name. It's not going to make any difference going through religiosity. We want to live a new, sanctified, and blessed life. We want our lives to change from unrighteousness to righteousness. And yet, as much as we spend time in the Word of God, there seems to be very little, if any, change sometimes in certain people. And I think this issue is because we don't have the right ears. Now, let me just remind you of a couple points from last week. Number one, the Word of God is effective to those that truly believe it and take it down into their hearts. Let me say that again. The Word of God is going to work if you're willing to take it down into your hearts. It's only effective if you believe it and take it down. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believeth." And I'm not going to go through all of what I talked about last week. The problem is we hear the Bible, but we read it as some word of men. In fact, that's one of the things that the world likes to say. Well, it's just a book written by men. Well, hey, every book you've been reading is written by men. Now, these men, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Listen, holy men were moved as the Holy Spirit told them what to do. Listen, if you think this could happen by just a bunch of men putting together, you haven't read this book. Listen, over 1,600 years, there were 40 different writers. Some of them a lot of them didn't know each other. They didn't necessarily have access to the writings of the other, and yet they all fit together. Sometimes it's little minute details they go back and catch. And by the way, they didn't have a computer. They didn't have all the things that we have to make sure it all comes out the way it's supposed to be. We have enough time just studying the Bible and finding out what John 3:16 says. Listen, they write a whole other book, and all of a sudden it just all fits in and fits just like one of the puzzle pieces in there. If you don't think this is an amazing book, you haven't read the book. Now, the fact is, when we take the Word of God, when you hear it, how do you take it? How do you hear it? Do you hear it as the word of man, or do you hear it as, in truth, the Word of God? If you don't hear it as the Word of God, then you're wasting your time. You might as well go, because it's not going to do you one iota of good. The only thing it might do is irritate you, because the Holy Spirit's saying, you know it's right. Well, no, it's not written by men. You know it's right. It is written by men. And you're fighting those things. Number two, we found that the Word of God has become part of who you are. We cannot act or move or behave without the Word of God being part of who we are, our decision-making, affecting what we think and what we do and what we say. Listen, if we take the Word of God for what it is, the truth of the Word of God becomes part of the fabric of your being. Because all of a sudden, you think about it and it guides you. It directs you. You say, well, I'm not going to do that because the Bible says this. Well, God says this. Well, I'm going to do this because God says this. I can't do this. Or here's how we handle this because this is what God says. Becomes part of who you are. If nothing else, a simple fear of God. The Word of God will seem to be of no value unless we apply it by faith. And this is why he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of, because but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. Why don't we have the rest? So I thought God's supposed to give us his peace and a rest. Well, number three, there's no rest until the truth is mixed with faith. Number three, there's no rest until the truth is mixed with faith. It did not profit. You can spend all your time. You can have a full library full of books. It's not going to do any good until the Word of God is mingled and become combined with and goes right down into the depths of our soul. We must assimilate the truth into our soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. You need to decide the Word of God is true and I'm going to hang on to it. Listen, our work is to work at trusting the promises of God and going about life and making decisions of life according to the promise and the commands of God. We are to be acknowledging the Lord in all our ways and He'll direct our paths. We are to be doing good according to God's commands. The Lord says He'll order your steps. We are to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will be adding everything we need to our life. Too often we make decisions in life and live without assuming the interaction of God in our lives. We live as if God doesn't exist. We haven't mixed the Word of God with faith. The mixing applies to every area and any area that requires faith in the Lord. You have a problem? Get yourself to God as fast as you can. Turn it over to Him and then rest in His promise. Now, how do we mix the Word of God with faith? That's the question. Here I'm saying mix the Word of God with faith. How do you mix the Word of God with faith? Well, you do it by acting upon it. Watch it. Acting upon it shows we have mixed it with faith. But what must we do to bring us to the point that we act upon it? Number one, this is the number one for our message tonight, this morning. The problem is with how we hear. The problem is with how we hear. Luke uses a verse, and we're going to come back to it in a little while here. In Luke 8:18, he says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." Luke 8:8 says, talk about he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. See, we have, and I'm going to say a kind of an ear gate. An ear gate. That gate can be wide open and receiving what's coming in, or it can be closed and hard and resisting what is trying to come in. He says, when you hear, 3:15, and back in Hebrews 3:15, he says, while it said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. When you hear, harden not your heart. See, that's what keeps it from becoming part of who you are. It never gets down there where it needs to be. It's kind of like chewing gum. You put it in, you like the flavor. You chew on it, and chew on it, and chew on it, and chew on it, and chew on it, chew on it. And then you take it out and you put it in a piece of paper and you throw it away. You don't stick it underneath the pew. And you get rid of it. You don't drop it on the sidewalk so everybody has to step on it, you know. No. Sometimes it's fun to chew on something, but that doesn't mean it's going to become part of who you are. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of people who chew on the Word of God, but they never digest it. Now, don't digest your gum. That's not made to digest. Now, I'm going out to lunch here in a little while here. There's some things I'm ready to digest. And I hope it's going to do me some good. And if it tastes good, some things are going to swallow because this tastes good. But anyway, there's some things we need to digest. People chew on the Word of God. It doesn't go deep enough to be assimilated into your system. You eat because you need the vitamins and the minerals and the proteins that come from these foods. And they go down and your body digests them and they become part of who you are. They say that you should eat certain things so that your nails grow long and full and your hair. And you should eat certain things because it gives you a good complexion, and eat certain things. I don't know whether it's true or not, But my wife, she had much worse eyes than I did when we were growing up. But she's been drinking carrot juice for 30 years almost, I guess. I don't know. And her eyes are getting better. They're getting better. She says, I got to get new glasses because they're too strong. I mean, literally. And so I don't know if that's a connection, but they say it is. You know, carrots are good for your eyes. All I know is there's things that we need to chew on, but just chewing on isn't enough. We got to say, I'm going to chew on, but I'm not going to let it go down any further than that. Hebrews 4:7, it says, again, he limited a certain day, saying unto David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you want to hear God's voice, don't harden your heart against it. I can't tell you how many times people say, well, I don't get anything out of the Bible. That's because you're trying to decide what you want and what you don't want. You need to go to the Word of God and say, well, Lord, if you make it clear, I'm going to accept it, even if I don't understand it yet. I know we got some school teachers. You got kids in your class who they're fighting you because they don't understand. We say, well, we'll get there. Understand this principle and this principle and this principle, and you'll understand this when we get there. Just give me some time to get you there. But I don't know. It doesn't make sense. They fight you and fight you and fight. You ever had a kid like that? Yeah. I've had kids like that. And we do the same thing with God. Well, if I could see the end, then maybe I'll listen to the rest of it. But I'm not going to listen to this until I find out what's going on down here. Well, you're not going to find out. Because you're not going to understand what's going on down there until you listen to what he has to do right now. He says, if you're going to hear. He says, the problem is you got to have ears to hear. You want to have ears to hear. If you're going to hear, you got to stop hardening your heart against the Word of God. He says, their unbelief was the result of truth not getting down into their heart. In Hebrews 3:19, it says, we see that they could not enter into the rest because of unbelief. But he said it was because of their hardened hearts. So what's he saying? Their unbelief hardened their heart so they don't get the blessing of God, don't understand the truth of God. We're too busy trying to figure it out, go on survival mode. And you say, well, I'm not sure I want to trust God with this. The truth did not get down into the heart because they hardened their hearts, not allowing it to go down deep inside of them, becoming part of them. Watch, listen, there are many superficial believers. Superficial believers. You know, sometimes someone has an injury and they say, well, it's just a superficial wound. And you know what we say? Well, good. Because it's not going to really affect them. And we got an awful lot of superficial Christians who talk about the word, they have it all over them. They'll, you know, they'll wear a cross. I'm not saying you can't wear a cross, but they'll do a lot of things, but it hasn't gone down to the organs of who you are. The truth stays on the surface. It never enters the meat and the heart of the person, so there's no impactful change. Romans 10:9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, I've been going to church, and I prayed the prayer, and I did this, I got baptized, and all this, but nothing is changing. If you want to change from unrighteousness to righteousness, it's not about you working it up, it's about God making you different in the heart. But you've got to have your heart open, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. When God gets down in your heart, he's going to be working you. All of a sudden, you're going to see some things a little differently. You're going to see sin for what it is, at least, you know, the part that he's revealed to you. And you're going to see righteousness for what it is. And you're going to have a desire for that, even though we may fail, even though we may come short from time to time, and we will. There's going to be a new desire in your heart, because now your heart wants the righteousness, not the unrighteousness. It's going to be a change. If there's a heart difference that you want righteousness rather than unrighteousness, that we're seeing righteousness in your heart, not just all unrighteousness, well, then maybe it's not in the heart. Number two, going to take a little bit to get through this one. There are several levels of hearing. He said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He says, listen, hear what I have to say. Don't harden your heart. The problem was, it says, it doesn't happen because their heart is hardened, and so they don't believe it. They don't have it coming down their heart. So now, I want you to see, it's not all one or nothing, all or nothing, because we're all different. And God knows that. He's going to give us some different levels of hearing. Now, the first level of hearing is not necessarily a biblical level of hearing. It's your husband. Yes, dear. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And he'll swear you never told him. He never heard it. This level of hearing is when the sound hits your eardrum. And that's as far as it goes. Your kids. Okay, Mom. Yes, sir, Dad. Some say yes and don't do it. Some say yes and will do it even if they don't believe it's worth the effect. And some will understand, take it in, agree with it, seek to accomplish with all their hearts. Jesus talked about this. You don't need to turn to it, but you know the story. Matthew 21, 28 says this. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. I need to go. And he came to the second, he said, likewise. And he answered and said, I'll go, sir. And went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that the publican and the harlot go into the kingdom of God before you. We may look worse. We may be starting further down on the rungs on the ladder. But where we are truly accepting of our heart the word of God makes the difference. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Did I get you there? Mark chapter 4. We're going to spend a little time here. Why don't you see this? This is basically covering the same passage that Luke chapter 8 did that I talked about a few minutes ago. And we'll refer back to that verse 18 in a moment. Mark chapter 4. Now, remember where we're going. He said, the word of God profited them nothing, in Hebrews 4, because it was not mixed with faith. There's an awful lot of people in our society that said, well, why does he even bother to go to church? What good is that? What's it going to do? Now, our church is a little different than a lot of other churches. There are a lot of churches. We praise the name of the Lord. We give him credit for stuff, and we'll have a nice time of talking about folks getting saved and this and that tonight in the evening service and when we do that. But Jesus says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make sure they're saved and going to heaven and have Christ in their heart. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Get them to a point where they're willing to stand and say, I'm not ashamed, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Third, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's what we're supposed to be doing in church. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. See, we kind of got off of that. We said, well, you know, I don't want to stand up in the preacher saying this. Listen, and the fact is, it's not just the people's fault. It's the preacher's fault. You go back in the Bible, he holds them accountable. Why aren't you teaching them the word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the fact is, you've got to hear. You can come and have the word of God smack you on the nose and bounce back off, hit you in the head and bounce back off, hit you in the heart, and never get any farther than the outside superficial thump enough to make you irritated. And we still doesn't have it. But if we have ears to hear, then faith will come and by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And all of a sudden you're going to see something different than you ever seen before. Now look at what it says here in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. It says, he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. The little adage is, a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He's trying to help. It's a big illustration most times. He taught them by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, verse 3, hearken, listen, behold, look. That's what it says. Look and listen here. Listen and look. There went out a sower to sow. Now, just so you know what it is, we got some young folks here. Years ago, Jan and I have built several houses, and Dad had me help with a lot of things years ago. And he had this old hand crank thing that's worn out, got holes in it, but you used to put grass seed in it. And you'd hang this thing around there, and it had a crank on it. And you pull the little door open, and it would let grass seed down there. Just a regular, broadcast spreader type thing. But you would hang on to this thing, and you would put this thing all full of grass seed. You crank this thing, and you walk around where you're sowing grass. It's one of those things where you do this, and it gets in your ears, and it gets in your eyes, and it gets down your neck, and it's throwing seed everywhere. It's in the cuffs of your pants, it gets down your socks and sticks on it. It's everywhere. I mean, it's throwing seed everywhere it can throw seed. Non-discriminate, just throwing seed out there everywhere. Now, you're throwing seed and you're going across the grass and you walk across the blacktop into the next section. Now, what do you expect to happen to the seed that's in the blacktop? It's bird feed. Right? It's bird feed. Now, hopefully, you've gone out to the part and you've raked that thing. You've stirred the dirt in there. In fact, if you're not careful, I mean, if you think about I've done this too, where you don't just lay it on top. If it's a nice spot that I'm working on, I'll take my metal rake and just kind of rake through it so the dirt kind of gets up onto the grass seed. And then you throw a little hay or some other stuff, some bedding on there to kind of keep it moist. And you water it down, get it down inside, and then it'll take root. And it'll go. Now, the fact is, when you're sowing seed, that's what you're doing. But when you're sowing seed, you're sowing all kinds of places. Hopefully, it's not in the flower bed, but sometimes it is. So you're sowing seed. So what's he say here? Verse 4. It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell, we'll get on this, we'll explain this in a second. Some fell on the stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Now, by the way, we call this the parable of the sower. He said, here the parable of the sower. Some people have called this the parable of the soils. Because you're going to find it's the same seed that is sown by the same sower. The difference is the soils. I'm going to go one more step. The soil is determined by the ears. Are you willing to come in? Now, when I was a kid, there was times when my mom, you're taking a bath, and she come in, she clean up my ears. She says, "There's enough dirt in here to plant potatoes." Now that's not what I'm talking about. We want our ears open. Verse 9. And he said unto them, "Watch, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He tells them the parable of the sower. There was seed by the wayside, there was seed in the stony ground, there was seed along the thorns, and there were some good ones. And he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That is not only a statement for that particular parable, but that is the meaning of that parable. That's a summary of that parable. Luke includes this in his account. I mentioned it in Luke 8:18. It says, take heed therefore how ye hear. He's talking about the soils and all the different kinds of soils. He says, take heed, watch out, take notice how you hear. Are you hearing it like the one at the wayside? Are you hearing it like the one that has stones? Are you hearing it like the ones that have thorns in his life? Are you hearing it as one who has good soil that is sinking down deep? He says, Be careful. Take heed how, in what way, how much, with what level of urgency, with what intensity, with what desire of fullness. How do you hear when the word is sown? For whosoever hath to him, hath what? Hath ears to hear. That's what he said. He that hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. In other words, they all heard the word, but the word was not profitable to all of them. The only ones that profited from the word of God sown in their lives were the ones that had ears to hear and took in the word and allowed it to become part of them and take root. Listen, that grass seed, it eventually disappears. That's because it turns into something that's full and living all by itself. The truth was mixed into their very being, mixed with faith by trusting their existence to the truth that they had heard. Now let's jump down to verse 13. Well, let me read, I'll read 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know mystery of the kingdom of God. In other words, because you have ears to hear. But to them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13. And he said unto them, to his disciples, the 12, know ye not this parable? You don't get it? Watch. And how then will ye know all parables? He's saying, if you don't understand this principle, that you've got to have ears to hear, you've got to allow it to sink down in your heart, you've got to take it for what it is, the word, the truth of the living God, is if you don't understand this principle, you're not going to get anything out of anything I say. If you don't get this principle, you might as well throw the Bible out because you're not going to get anything out of it. You've got to decide, I'm going to have ears to hear what it has to say, and I'm going to let it get down and part of who I am, and the minerals and the vitamins of that word of God has become part of who I am and develop me into what God wants me to be. None of the words of Jesus are going to be profitable if they're not willing to receive the words as the truth that they are. Even the word of God himself, and allow it to become mixed with faith with their very being. Watch. He goes on to say it. And by the way, I want you to ask yourself, which soil are you? How wide open are your ears and heart? Or is it hard repelling it? Bouncing it off like an old blacktop. Verse 13, he says, and said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then shall ye know all parables? Verse 14, he goes on to explain, the sower soweth the word. That's the same for everybody. Everybody in here is hearing the word of God this morning. What you do with it is your decision. Hard hearts are not willing to believe it at all. We're sowing on the blacktop. Hard hearts that simply refuse to allow the seed to penetrate their hearts. Look at verse 15. And these are they by the wayside. The wayside. This is the wagon rut along the side of the road. Listen, people have walked and animals have beat it down, and the wheels of the wagons and all these things. And it's hard. We used to go up years ago when her folks had a place up in Potter County. We used to go up there, and you go to a little place called Oswego. I don't know anybody know where Oswego is? Do you? Okay, a couple hunters up there. Anyway, it's a dirt road, and it's hard. Nothing's going to grow on that dirt road. There's no weeds on that dirt road. And life is just beating you down, maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe it has. Don't use that as an excuse to harden yourself against the Word of God. Maybe you feel like you've gotten rolled underneath the wheel way too many times. God's not the one who rolled the wheel over you. He says, they're the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, verse 15, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. See, it would take much time and much rain and much softening of the soil to have anything germinate in that hard place, that hard heart. The deceitfulness of sin, thinking they're just fine without God, dictating their lives, hardens their hearts. Remember Pharaoh back in Egypt. Satan comes along and says, you don't want that. Those people don't love you. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. Now don't raise your hand, because we should all raise our hand. How many hypocrites are there in this room? You want to find something wrong? You can find it. But by the way, who made you the judge of everybody else? You got your own things to deal with too. You go out calling people for being a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite. Right? Well, they're telling me. Well, then you're doing them. Thank you. You're done. You're down on the same level as they are now. We're all hypocrites. Take your halo off and come to church with the rest of us. We have the hard hearts. We have the skeptical hearts. Hearts who have been hurt. And I understand that. They've been taught wrong, maybe. Maybe they want to believe, but as soon as it gets tough, they kind of cave in. Look at verse 16. These are they, likewise, which are sown on the stony ground. Not totally hard, but has many hard spots where nothing will grow. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They want to believe it and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They trip up. They stumble. They're enticed back to sin and unbelief. They sit there and they look at it. They admire it, but they're not going to digest it. They look at it. Well, that'd be kind of nice. I kind of put that in my pocket. I might need that later. And then when you find out putting your pocket makes you feel bad, you throw it away. They don't allow the word to go down very deep. It's not mixed well into their being. They appreciate the tradition, or they appreciate the religiosity, but they don't want to live by it. They don't want to accept it. They're still admiring, but not absorbing it. They look at it and would love to believe it, but they have not mixed it with faith in that they have allowed the truth to take full hold of their hearts and change the way they think and live. They're skeptical. Some want the things of the world more than the things of God. Again, the deceitfulness of sin. They're not willing to allow the truth to change the fabric of who they are, and thus they do not mix the truth with faith, and thus they do not live by the truth and allow the truth to become part of who they are. Look at verse 18. These are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, they heard it, came by, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of the riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and becometh unfruitful. They didn't allow the word to take over. They allowed the weeds to take over. And if a little bit of words get in there, that's good. There are some that have ears that allow the seed to sink in, become buried in the depths of their souls, and stay there undisturbed until the seeds are allowed to put down the fingers of roots into the very fabric and makeup of the person. Look at verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. Do you allow the word of God to get a hold of your heart, or do you just keep the word at arm's length? Have you ever tried to move plants that have gotten good root system? When we first built our house down here, it's been about 10 years now, and we put some of that ornamental grass in. And we put some around the well out front of our house. The well's right in the front yard, you know. So we were trying to camouflage it there and put this ornamental grass in there. We thought we were going to move it. I thought it was getting big. I thought, well, I'll just take a chunk off of it. Kind of like a hostas. You know, you can just kind of get in there, and you can take a chunk off of that thing and move it someplace else, you know. But this ornamental grass, it was awful. And we're trying to dig it out, and you can't get it out. And this, I was just awful. I thought, I'm just going to cut it. It just became so dense. It was so part of the ground. Listen, sometimes the roots are so entwined with the soil that you can't hardly separate the two. You're taking that out, and you're beating the thing, trying to get the dirt out of it, so you've got some dirt left in the hole. That's what God wants. He wants our roots so entangled with the soil that it becomes part of who we are. You move the soil, you'll move me. You move me, you move the soil. We're all part of the same thing. Now, there are different levels of hearing. We hear in different depths. Sometimes what we take in, we do not care for it as we should, and we hear it into our hearts, but we store it along with all the cares of the world, and the Word of God is never allowed to sink deep into the heart as it should. Sometimes we allow the Word to sink in, but we do not separate and honor it for what it is, the very Word of God, truth itself. And so we harbor the Word of God at the same level as all the cares and the other thoughts and the philosophies of this world, and the Word of God gets shoved aside and pushed out. There's so much other stuff going on in life that there's no room for truth. You will hear it if you have, number three, you will hear it if you have your ears tuned in to hear. He ends that book, verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Remember this?
Breaker, breaker, 1-9. It's the preacher, man. Got to shout out to Big Mac. Big Mac, you there? Come on.
You know, back in the CB era. You got your ears on? Remember they used to say, you got your ears on? That means, do you have it tuned in so you can hear? Now, the waves are all out there, and the signals are going, but if you don't have your ears on, it's as if it's not there. And there's an awful lot of people who live without their ears on. And they're getting nothing out of the Word of God. And they'll swear up one side and down the other that there is no God and He doesn't do anything. Because they don't have ears on. Number four. We receive benefit from the Word of God, listen, at the same proportion that we are willing to hear the Word and receive it as truth. If you come in here every week and just say, well, let's see what the preacher has to say. By the way, this is not what the preacher has to say. That's why I spend so much time in the Scripture. Why I read so much Scripture. That's why I go back and say it again. Read it at the beginning and read it again. And read it at the beginning and then read it again later. Why? Because I want you to see this is what the Bible is saying. This is not some little sly little thing, vain philosophy, some little fable that the preacher thought up. Sounds good, we'll preach it. Everybody will say, amen. Boy, I'd love to preach a message with everybody going, yeah, amen. But you know what? A lot of times, those are not messages that come from the Bible. There's some emotional thing that doesn't mean a thing. I tell you, most times when we hear the Bible, a lot of times we go, oh me. But Lord willing, if we will have ears to hear when the oh me comes, we'll let it come down and be part of us, and then we'll find out, amen.
Look at verse 24. And he said to them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, he that hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. We must receive the Word of God as truth, but we must also allow the truth to be mixed with our faith and what we trust in, become part of the fiber of who we are. And the more we mix the Word with our faith, the more the Word will grow and benefit us. The less we allow the Word of God to sink in, and we keep it somewhat at a distance, the less the Word of God will do, and the less, and in fact, even to the point of doing us no good at all. This goes right back to 2 Peter 1. Add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, a brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, make you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten, he was purged from his old sins. Hebrews 4:1 says this, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of." It's there, but you're just not getting it. "Let's be afraid of missing out on the promises of God and having the rest and the peace that God has promised." Verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word of preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." We all have the same opportunity to see God do amazing things in our hearts and lives, including salvation first, and then all the promises of God. However, the promises of God are of no benefit, no profit, no advantage to any of us if we do not allow it to become a vital part of who we are by going ahead and living out the promise by mixing it with faith. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, we preach your word. We do our best to do that. And we know that your Holy Spirit is in there trying to convince us that we need to receive it and take it for what it is. But you also, in your sovereignty, gave us a free will. And we need to decide not to harden our heart, but to receive the word with good soil, taking it in to the depths of our heart. Not hardening our heart with unbelief, but receiving it for what it is, the truth of the word of God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes.